Daniel chapter 4, please. Daniel chapter 4. Old Testament. I want to talk to you about our sovereign God this morning. I want you to realize one thing. God is in charge of everything, every day, no matter what we may think. We may look at the world today and say to ourselves, how in the world can things be so bad? It's because mankind has a free will to do certain things. And we're going to see this until the day we die, because the world is corrupt. But I want us to realize something this morning you're going to see about a king. When you think about the word sovereign this morning, it's both a noun and it is a verb. You say, well, how can that be? Well, as a verb, it talks about and means to rule over. When you look at it as a noun, it means to be a king or absolute ruler over someone. To say that God is sovereign is to say that God himself is in charge of the entire universe. He's in charge of all the times around us, of everything. But really, in a nutshell, I can put it this way. God's sovereignty means that he is absolutely free to do as he wills any time of any day that we live. And you don't have any say over that. And we don't like that, because we all like to have the last say, amen? The fact is this, God has the last say. And God will have the last say when you stand before him one day, when he looks at you and says, why should I let you into my heaven? And if you don't have the answer, my friend, you won't be going through those pearly gates we preach about, but you will be entering into another place, which I will not mention this morning, because people don't like to talk about hell. Amen. There was a word in the Bible that stands out all the time, and it's called pride. Pride. Pride cometh before the fall, the Bible says. You're going to see this morning this great king Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Here was a man that had everything. He went to Jerusalem, he attacked them, he brought the best of the people back. We know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. We know all about that. We know about how they came and how Daniel and his friends had purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat or anything else. We know that he built a great statue out in the wilderness there, and it said every time that the trumpet sounded or music played, they were supposed to bow down to this great statue at one time. All of a sudden, you know that Daniel and the rest of them didn't do that, but really Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they did, you know, they were taken after they didn't do that. They were taken before the king, and they were told by these others, says, you know, they're supposed to be bowing down too. My question has always been this. If you're supposed to bow down before the statue and you're supposed to be face down onto the ground, who was watching Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There were still those that were looking and trying to find fault with these individuals, because they were the smartest of the smartest at that time from Jerusalem. So King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, he was just a smart man too. He got all mad and upset. So he took the fire in the furnace, made it 7 times hotter. He took the young men up there and had them thrown into the fire. What's interesting is the guards that took them burned up before they did. And he was thrown into the fire. It says that as they hit the bottom of the fire, right, it says that Nebuchadnezzar looked in. And he saw them walking around in a circle. And he noticed they were not consumed by the fire. But this is what he said. He said, didn't we throw 3 into the fire? And they said, yes. He said, well, how come there's 4 walking around in the fire? And he made this statement. He said, and one looks as to be the Son of God. At that moment, you think that Nebuchadnezzar realized who God really was. And the 4 Hebrew boys came out. The bands were loose. They didn't have any smell of smoke. They weren't singed in any way. They were just the same way they were when they went in. Well, a few years passed by, and old Nebuchadnezzar, he decided, okay, I'm the great king that I am. So as we look at that text this morning, you're going to find out something about him. But how prideful he was, how boastful he was, how everything that he did related to himself and not to anything that God had done and prospered him. Even being a pagan king, it says in Jeremiah 25, it says, I will use Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, to subdue the nation of Israel. A pagan king. It shows you that God can use anybody that he wants to do his bidding for him. It doesn't make any difference whether you know him or not. He can use that individual. And he did. to Nebuchadnezzar's life. So would you stand with me this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word, looking at chapter 4 of Daniel, verses 34 through 37 this morning. It says, at the end of the days, he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding, he said, returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed, it says, as nothing. And he doeth according to his will, he said, in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants, he talks about, of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doeth thou? At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness, he said, returned unto me. And my counselors, he said, and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, an excellent majesty, he says, and added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen very carefully, praise and extol, he says, the honor of the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride be able, he says, to obey. Let's pray. Father, may we understand that we're not to put ourselves before you in any way, shape, or form, that you are truly the God of heaven. We are your creatures that you have created. And you have given us understanding of life. But Father, you continue to teach us through your word how important it is that you're always number one. Nebuchadnezzar had this thing about he was number one. And you took him and showed him very quickly that his place in life was not what he thought it was. And you brought him down to humble himself before you to realize that you are the God of heaven and the God of earth. And it's in your name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. When you think about the sovereignty of God, you know, God is what I call a very humble doctrine that he gives to us in life. Sovereignty reminds us that God is God and we are not. I think that's the part that we don't understand. God is God and we are not. You're not God, I'm not God. But I am a servant of the Lord. Just like each of us in this room are to be a servant of the Lord that has him in the life and have a personal relationship with him. We are to live our lives according to his word and to his doctrines of living for him each day. He gives a big view here if you look at of who God really is. And Nebuchadnezzar had this thing. He was a prideful individual. Man, he was a man or a warrior, as we say. He conquered city after city, nation after nation. Nobody was above him, as he thought. But he found out very quickly that God was in control of everything going on in his life. But he never recognized God as being in control of his life. He decided it was better for him to say, look at what I'm doing. How big of a view do you have of God this morning? Do you serve a itty-bitty God? Do you serve a medium-sized God? Do you serve a large God? Or do you serve a great God? Where are you at in your capacity with him? Where is your life at right now? You serve that big God like I do. You know, because he lifted his arms up so wide for me, right? He gave his life for me. It is a mystery here when you think about what he brings to us. When you come face to face with reality and you come face to face with the problems of this life, the evil that's around us, there's only one that can bring you through that, and that is God himself. Jesus came to give us a new life and a new beginning. Sometimes I think we become very lax in our understanding of that and who we really are. We walk around sometimes like, you know, we're just, you know, haphazardly doing whatever we want to do. And we call ourselves Christians. As a Christian, you are to live your life, what? In the presence of God and having God in your presence at all times. Every single day. He should be the forefront of your life as you live. We talk about putting on God's armor every day. Putting on the relationship every day. So when you think about it for just a minute, as you and I know, we as human beings have a tendency to do what we want to do. Amen? I don't care how close you think you are to God. If something comes up that you want to do, you're going to do it, and God's left out the picture. Amen? That's how we live today. We will put anything else before him and make every excuse why it's okay. Yeah, we do that, don't we? How many people made him ever make an excuse? Well, you can't do something. I know, I do, you do too. You know? It's like when the phone rings, right, and your wife says it's for you, you say, tell him I'm not here. You know, we do that, don't we? When God talks to you, do you ever think to yourself when you study God's Word, read God's Word, and God speaks to you, you're trying to tell God, Lord, I'm not here, just make sure I'm just invisible to you? No. God knows everything about you. He knows everything from the beginning of your life to the end of your life. He knows everything in between it, even though you don't. He knows. Nebuchadnezzar was a king, a powerful, powerful king. But he did something that was not very good. If you recall and you think about this for just a minute, about this great man and this great nation he had, if you go back with me to chapter number 4 and go back to verse 2, 3, and 4, I want you to look at what he said. Nebuchadnezzar at this moment is telling us, as God led him in this text, about what he had done and what had happened to him prior to this. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 2, he says this, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me, he said. In other words, things he has done to me. How great are his signs? How mighty are his wonderful, he said, wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed, he said, and the visions of my head troubled me. And therefore I did a decree will bring the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Now, when you think about Nebuchadnezzar, he had all these wise men. And I was reading a text the other day, and it's talking about being wise guys, right? That's what he called them. He had magicians, he had astrologers, he had all these people before them that could interpret to him what the dream was. Now, if you think about yourself for just a minute, and you had a dream, and you come to me and say, Pastor, can you interpret this? I'm going to look at you and say, not unless God tells me. Bottom line. They could not interpret anything that was going through Nebuchadnezzar's life in the dream. Then all of a sudden, he remembers Daniel. Because Daniel was the one that could interpret the dream. And he did. Over and over again. I can imagine that Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar became very close in their life because of the way he worked and the position that he had. Well, as Daniel came, the king spoke to him. And he talked about a big tree that was growing out in the desert. The tallest tree there ever was, and you could see it from nation to nation with this great big old tree. Then all of a sudden, you know, here's this great beautiful tree. The birds were in it. The animals were underneath of it. The squirrels crawled through it. Just a beautiful tree. Oh, he was happy because it was a beautiful tree. But then all of a sudden it says that the angel came and cut the tree down. He got a little nervous. They left the stump part there. The animals had to fly away, you know, the birds and all the animals left. And there was just the stump left. And it says that they had, you know, put stuff around it, you know, and all this good stuff looked pretty. But let me tell you what happened was, the fact that when the tree fell, it was talking about Nebuchadnezzar's life. Because Nebuchadnezzar's life, as he was looking at it, yes, you're tall. You're magnificent. You're beautiful. Things are going well for you. Things look good for you. But then all of a sudden, the Lord said very plainly in the dream, he said, but you're going to be cut down to size. Now, none of us want to be cut down to size, do we? Because we think that we got it all. We're going to walk and walk and talk and talk, but a lot of times we don't do it. So as Daniel got there and he started to interpret the dream for him, he told him, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, the tree is you. You're boastful. You're prideful. You look at that tree, and that's what you think about. That's you. He said, but all of a sudden, he said, when the angel came along and cut the tree down, he said, that's you too. And he said, God is trying to get your attention to show you that your pride is going to take you down. So Nebuchadnezzar, you know, here he was. And this is what's amazing. He had 12 months to think about this dream he had. Well, you know, being the king, you get caught up in a lot of things, and all of a sudden, I guess he pretty much forgot about what Daniel said. And Daniel told him, point blank, he said, look, he said, you need to change the way you're living. You need to put God in your life. And Nebuchadnezzar said, this old saying, I don't need him. Some of you here this morning may think the same thing. You may have yourself on a pedestal up here. But when God chopped you off that pedestal and you're down here, you only have one place to look, and that's up. Nebuchadnezzar found out after a year. All of a sudden, it says this. If you go with me to chapter 4 and look at verses 14. Let's go back to 13 real quick. And I saw a vision in my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud, and he said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. He said, let the beasts get away, he said, from under it, and the fowls, he said, from the branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump by the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, he said, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion, he said, be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Now, if I read that very plainly, I think to myself, he's talking about somebody else. He's not talking about Nebuchadnezzar. But look at the next verse. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him, talking about 7 years. Now, if Nebuchadnezzar himself, there he was, you know, getting the story from Daniel, then all of a sudden he says, okay, fine. He must have felt a little bit better. Because a year later, here's Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to visualize this. Nebuchadnezzar is walking on the roof of his palace. And he's overlooking everything. And he's talking to himself. I, Nebuchadnezzar, have made all of this. My greatness has given me all of this. And the Bible says, as his words were still in his mouth, that he was turned into a beast. As he was turned into that beast, he would try to imagine what he would look like. He had long claws. He had long fur all over. He had wings like a bird. I mean, he was a sight to behold. I can imagine he was repulsive. You think about your life right now. If God did that to you, how would you feel? Huh? Then all of a sudden, here is this great king has a heart now like an animal. He thinks like an animal. He eats grass like a cow, chewing on his cud every single day. For 7 long years, Nebuchadnezzar suffered because of his prideful life. And God's sovereignty showed him very quickly, I am in charge of everything that you do, Nebuchadnezzar. I have given you the palace. I have given you the wealth of this life. I've done everything for you, but now you put yourself on that pedestal and say, look at what I have done. Anytime that you put yourself on a pedestal before God, you are going to fall before you know it. And all of a sudden, when Nebuchadnezzar hit bottom, boy, he hit bottom. Can you see him now out there with slime all over? Clawing himself day after day for 7 long years and what he looked like? And how they had to turn him out and let him live outside for those 7 years? This was Daniel. I mean, this was Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel told him, he said, look. He said, this is what's going to happen to you if you do not listen to God and turn your heart to God. Well, you can say to me, you know, well, preacher, you know, he says, I'm not going to turn it to an animal. How do you know? How do you know? You think about the sin that's in life today, the people who sin against God and continue to sin against God. What is God going to do? He is going to bring you on your knees before Him one day, and you're going to confess who He is. He will make your life miserable. My friends, we do not have to live a life that's miserable. We don't have to live a life that's caught up in the worldliness around us. We can live a life that's productive for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will turn our hearts around and turn to God. That's what He wants from us. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar could have done the same thing right at that moment. He could have said, Daniel, I believe on your God of heaven and earth. I believe what God is going to do. And he could have turned at that moment. Some of you sitting here this morning and say to me, well, preacher, you know, it's one of those things that I just haven't really thought about too much. Let me tell you what. You better start thinking now, because each day is a day less you got here. And each day is a day draws closer to the Lord, as the Bible teaches us. Poor old Nebuchadnezzar living in that squalor, as I say out there, from being the King of Kings up there in his life as he looked at it. When the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, your day has come. Then all of a sudden, things change for him. And it says in verse 24, this is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, he said. And they shall make thee to eat grasses of oxen, and they shall wet thee, he said, with the dew of the heaven. Seven times shall pass over you, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God, he says, controls all. God is in charge of all of us. God's in charge of us, my friends. He has created us in the likeness of his image. Why don't we want to live for him instead of live for the world today? Why do we want to say, look at what I have done? Look at me. Look at my life. I've got this, 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 and this. It's all been given to me. No, I worked hard for this. Well, who gave you the job that you could work hard for it? Who gave you what you had today? Everything in life, every blessing you have comes from above. Every bit of it. But we don't think so. I've got to work. Be thankful that God gave you the ability to do the things that you do. Thank God that he's given you the education that you need to work and do the things that you do. You see, we have to be thankful to God and get ourselves out of the way and let God be the center of our lives today. Last week, we thought about Thanksgiving. Well, man, all we talked about was turkey and ham and stuffing and all that good stuff. I tell you what, it was good. But God still provided the feast for each and every one of us. So, and he provides a feast for us every day in this book called the Bible. When's the last time you feasted on God's Word? When's the last time you got into the center of God's Word and started to read it and to love it, to use it in your walk of life? Oh, yes, he tried to do everything for himself, and he found out very quickly that everything that came his way came from above. Nebuchadnezzar hadn't done hardly anything. Worshiping God is very, very important. I'm glad she's so happy today. Amen. Cue the button. God does everything. God has always done everything. And he will do everything for us, my friends, day after day after day, but we have to depend on him, not on the self. Because the self still gets in the way, doesn't it? I can walk up here and say to you, yeah, look what I've done today. Look what I did. Look at this. Look at that. Let me tell you what. Every word I preach comes from God. It doesn't come from me. If it comes from me, you'd get something else. Amen? Sure. I preached to you about Charlie Brown or somebody, I guess, you know, make things happy. Let me tell you something. Every word that's taught in this church, every word that's taught in Sunday school, everything that we do, I pray every time we come together, it comes directly from God and not from you and me. But boy, we can mess that up too. We got a good tendency to mess it up, don't we? That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. Boy, I had it all. You may be riding around a Cadillac car today. Just think, tomorrow you might be in a Volkswagen. Amen. Be thankful for the Volkswagen. It costs as much as a Cadillac. Have you ever thought about it? You ever thought about what God does and how God loves us so much to give us the life we have? Look at old Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, he was rolling. And then it says right down in verse number 32, they shall drive thee men, he said, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grasses and oxen again. Seven times shall it pass over. Continues to tell him that. Until thou know there is the Most High God ruleth over you, kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He says, in other words, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, guess what? I can take it away and give it to somebody else. Well, did he? Oh, somebody ran the place for 7 years. I think Daniel was in part of that too. But he was one of those vice presidents during that day. Had a lot to do with it. But then all of a sudden, it says in verse 33 these words. Now listen. The same hour was the king, he said, the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of the heaven till his hairs were grown like eagles' feathers and his nails were like birds' claws, it says. Boy, he was a pretty sight. Huh? He needed a manicure, he needed a shave, and he needed his hair fixed. Amen. But it didn't happen, did it, for 7 years? 7 years he lived that life like that. 7 long years in misery. But then something happened. Then something happened to his life. When you think about it. Oh, yes, it was a weird dream. Oh, yes, things didn't look too good for him. But what was God really doing here? He was taming the beast. You say, you think to yourself, well, oh, he's a great king. Yeah, but he was a beast, too. And God was taming him to put him where he needed to be. If you've ever been tamed by God, let me tell you what. It's not a pretty experience, is it? It's not a pretty experience. Nebuchadnezzar was being tamed. But he said this. God has to put someone on their knees to show them who they really are. The last time that you were on your knees before God? When was the last time that you really looked to Him and turned your heart to Him and asked Him to help you through each day and each circumstance of life? See, Nebuchadnezzar didn't care about God in any way, shape, or form. I am King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, there you are. There you are. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a preacher. I'm all this good stuff, right? Let me tell you what. I'm a human being just like you are. And I have subject to fail just like you do. But I know who can get me through my failures of life, and His name is G-O-D, and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can get me through all of it. Because He gives me the strength that I need. He puts His loving arms around me. He holds you close, near and dear. He does that. But look what He said in verse 34 again. At the end of the days, He said, I never could have lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding did what? Return to me. I'm so glad it did. His understanding returned to him, he said, and all of a sudden I bless the Most High and I praise and honor Him that liveth forever. Now, you talk about a change of heart, a change of attitude. That was it right there. Oh, man, I looked to Him. I had a change of heart, change of attitude. I praised Him. I honored Him for all the things He had done. He said, whose dominion, His kingdom is from generation to generation. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar said, I have seen the light and I know who God is. How many of us here today have actually seen the light and changed your life, and changed your heart? Yeah. Amen. See, we need to have something in our lives today. We need to have Christ every single day. We need to let the light shine. And when you had our service last week on Tuesday, we had a candlelight service to let your light shine unto the world, to let people see who you are and what your life is all about. Here's Nebuchadnezzar, right? Here's this great old pagan king, right? Well, he's running around doing his thing. Boy, he's looping everybody and hollering and jumping around saying, look at me, you know. He said, I can get rid of you. All he had to do was look at somebody and say, you're dead. Go. That quick. But then all of a sudden, it says he honored God. He blessed Him and praised Him because he had seen that light. And he knew that He was the God of heaven and earth, that He was the Creator. Do you think his pride changed any? Sure it did. That boastful individual was not as boastful as he used to be. He started to what? Praise God for who he was. And what's really interesting, he started to tell others about God. See, that's the part of the relationship that he started to grow in. And then he said this. And all inhabitants, verse 35, of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest Thou? In other words, Lord, why are You doing all this stuff? Why did You do that? Why did You let this happen? Why did You turn me into this wild animal? Why are things like they are today? And all of a sudden, what happened? God humbled him and says, I'll show you why. Because of who I am. I am God of heaven and earth. We might say to ourselves sometimes when you think about a change of heart, when Christ touched you, when God just penetrated your life, that was a true change of heart that came with it. There's a song that I did years ago called I've Had a Change of Heart. You know? And I know I sang that song because when I got saved, that's the first thing I did. I sang that song, I've Had a Change of Heart. And God has moved on me. That's what it talks about. You see, when you have a change of heart and God moves in your life, You know it, you feel it, and my friends, you represent it for who He is in your life. And you get yourself out of the way and let God be centered. I'll tell you what, you'll have a great life that you've never had before. But He has to be number one. Nebuchadnezzar, yes, he was great. He did everything he wanted to. But all of a sudden, God says, I'm going to show you who's greater than you. And God did show him. Oh, yeah, I know we'd like to put ourselves on pedestal. We'd like to say, look at me. Who am I? What I'm doing? And this, that, and the other. Let me tell you what. Remember this. God loves you enough to correct you. I think you need to understand it. God loves you enough to correct you in how you're living your life today. And He will do it. He will change it whenever He feels like it. And it's one thing I can say, and there's nothing you can do about it when He decides to do that. He starts moving and He starts changing, you'll know it. And you will drop on your face before God in an instant. And you will say, I'll guarantee you, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you for all that you do. I was reading an article the other day by Dr. David Jeremiah, which really brings to light about pridefulness and people in church. And David Jeremiah said this. Y'all know who he is, don't you? Okay. This is what he said. Somebody asked him a question one time about church. And David Jeremiah said that of all the personnel and church problems, he says, that he has seen in his years of ministry, most of them are the result of pride. I thought that was a bold statement because when you think about it, yeah, we are prideful people. We're proud of what we do, amen? Say amen. Yeah, I know you can. Afraid to admit it. God knows what you are already. But yeah, we'll think about that. But he said that's the biggest problem we have today. It creeps into our lives. It's subtle in ways. And when we do something bad, we're quick to blame somebody else if they did it, you know? Something goes wrong, I look at my new deacon and I say, Lee, you did it. You know, you take the fall for this. Do I do that? No. You've got to be big enough to stand up for things that you do wrong and admit it. And when things are going so good and things are looking good, the first thing we want to do is stand up and say, I did it. Look at me, I did it. See? It's wrong. But that's how we live today. We never want to admit we have a fault in our lives. We don't want to admit that things go wrong in our lives. Let me tell you what. We'll admit everything that's good is okay because I did it, right? No, it doesn't work that way. We are to live our lives according to God's Word. And when you put our needs and our concerns ahead of, my friends, others, that is pride. That's pride. I don't have time for you. Yeah? I'm so-and-so. I don't have time to talk to you. Now I'm the pastor of the church. I don't have time to talk to you. Go talk to one of them deacons over there. That's what they're there for. Use them. You know, no. It should always be a point of that we always have concerns for others before you have a concern for you. Others are important to us. And when we would rather live our life our way instead of God's way, that's pride. It still jumps out there. Pride. I know we're prideful. We are. You have to admit it. Because we don't understand what God teaches us about humbling ourselves in the sight of Him, letting Him lift us up. That's what we ought to do. When you think about a word that's in the Bible, it's called renounce, okay? He renounced all those things that he was doing wrong. And he put God first. What do you think? That was Nebuchadnezzar. When I accepted Christ, I renounced the things in my life that were not right. I went to God and asked forgiveness. He forgave me. Just like He still forgives today. He never changes. Same yesterday, today, and now. Never changes. But what happens to us? See, we need to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. Because I want to read those last few verses to you, and I want you to listen very carefully to what he said. And he talked about it this way in verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counsels and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty, he says, was added unto me. This is the key to all of it. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All, he said, whose works are truth and ways judgment, his ways. And those that walk in pride that he is able to obey. Nebuchadnezzar, great man, pagan king, living for himself, got it all, finally realized that God could bring him down to a place that he never thought about. He broke him. He broke him and put him in a position where he couldn't change anything until he recognized him. Well, my friend, I want to tell you this morning before I close here. What is it going to take for God to get your attention to realize where you are today? How is he going to break you down from where you are on this pedestal with your pride out of the way? I'll tell you how he's going to do it. Hebrews 14:11 says this. What is written? As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue will confess to God. Oh, you're going to be broken one day. You're going to be broken in a big way. Because the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, yes, he could walk around, you know, all of his pride and arrogance and everything else. But in the end, what happened? He bowed his knee. He recognized God. And he said, this God can abase anybody thinks more highly of itself than they are. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and read verse 3. That's what it talks about. But sometimes we do think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. The one that we should be thinking about is above all is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the life that God has given you to live. And are you living it to the fullest potential God has given you? Take time. Spend time with God. Take time to go back and read the Scripture. See what God says about Nebuchadnezzar. Here's a pagan king that died knowing God. As who? As his Savior, as you can say. A pagan king. If God can break a pagan king down, he can break anybody down that he wants to. Put them on their knees to turn their hearts to him. Because you need to turn your heart, your eyes, and everything you got to him and ask him to deliver you. My friend, you can't deliver yourself. Only God can.